I'd like to put a disclaimer at the beginning of this episode. I have not read a single Nagi Urasawa manga. If you asked me what Pluto was, I'd talk to you about that dog without rights from Disney. And if you asked me what 20th Century Boys was about, I'd say my dad, maybe. But anyway, welcome to the home for anime. I am your host, GPC, great podcaster Callie, and I am proud to say that I have read or am currently reading my first Urasawa manga, and that is Asadora. Please hold your applause. I know. I know. I know. All right. So I actually have, even though I haven't read any Urasawa manga, I have slowly but surely been watching shows that are adapted from his manga of Yara, a Fashionable Judo Girl, and Monster. And I can tell you right now, I'm really enjoying both of them. And I can see why people say that he is a master in manga, because for some reason I feel like the books are even better than the anime. And that is a huge compliment, I promise. I think that based off of what this guy is doing with Asadora, he's just really good. But what is Asadora about? So we're in the 50s, and there's this kid named Asa Asada who's trying to find a doctor for her mom because her mom's going into labor. Well, this huge storm hits, and then Asa has this chance encounter with a burglar that changes both of their lives, namely because of two big things. One, Asa flies a plane, even though she is a small child, and realizes that that is her passion in life. And a majority of her family is murked by a giant kaiju, or at least the tail of one. Honestly, it gave me perfect chaos vibes from Sonic Adventure. But also, if you've seen Godzilla Minus One, you could probably liken that first 10 or 15 minutes of that movie to the first book of Asadora. Not completely, but kind of. Which is kind of me giving a. It might be giving you a bad impression. I don't want to give you a false impression of the vibes that this manga puts out, but don't worry, we're going to keep going. Just go along with me. Come on, Vamanos, everybody, let's go. Come on, let's get to it. I know that we can do it. So, like I said, this is starting in the 50s, so it's a period piece. And it's set to, I'm not sure if it ends in 2020 or if 2020 is just the present. Right now, by volume 7, we're in the 60s. And in the 60s, Asa is officially a pilot at age 17, working with the burglar who is now kind of like her coach or her mentor. Her and her brothers and sisters, who she could find, they live with a lady who rescued them. It's all a whole thing. They're great. Everything is great, but it does go through different points of Asa's life. And ultimately, her going through these different points in life, we're spending a lot of time with her as a 17-year-old and everything that comes with that. So, her friends, what's going on with them? She's a pilot for the government. Oops. Wow. Yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing. She's actually a pilot for the government. It's really cool. I kid you not. This is a really cool manga. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If it seems like I'm not giving you much information, that's because there isn't much to give. I am 51 chapters in because that is the latest book that I have been able to get my hands on, which is Volume 7. And this manga's pacing is so slow that literally what I told you is all that there is. And I can 100% see that being a problem for a fair amount of people. I've heard the term slow burn before. I am pretty sure that a snail could crawl faster than the pacing of this story. But in a very specific way, this story is slow. I will 100% admit to you that I have commitment issues. I can be short-sighted at times. And I don't always see or recognize when there is a bigger picture. And I don't know if it is knowing that we eventually have to get to 2020, but I know that there is a larger scale and that there really is a big picture with all of this. And because we have a finish line carved out at the start, I can be more patient with this and I can see where we are meant to go. And really, another reason that I don't mind the slow pace is because this book is just enjoyable. It flip-flops between being a slice of life and just this epic dogfighting airplane manga with other things mixed in between. For some reason, I actually have to spend chapters learning about Asa's friends. I have to hear about the Olympics. I know about her home life. Beyond what she is doing or how she feels about the whole kaiju thing happening to her family when she was a kid. And while some chapters are just, oh, gotta fight this kaiju that keeps coming up, that is literally referred to 51 chapters in only as quote unquote that thing. We do get fights with them, but also, while I'm learning about all these different people, I'm not mad. And I think part of that is because everything that I'm learning, everyone who I'm spending time with, their stories, they're going in such random directions, but they're doing them in such tandem that I'm kept. I am set. I want to know more, but I'm okay with waiting. It's enjoyable. It's just an enjoyable read. And of course, we know that Asa is the main character. We know we're going to spend the most time with her. And I love spending time with Asa. But I love spending time with everybody else too. So when they ultimately pull apart and then come back and intersect, it always makes for a good time. And I'm just left to wonder, where are we going with this? And again, I'm not bored of it. I'm really not. Like, I can see this being an issue for people, but it really, it's not bad. It's actually really good. It's, and this is going to sound really strange. Even though there is the looming threat of a kaiju that keeps trying to attack Japan, this is an extremely cozy manga. And I don't know if that has to do with the time period, the setting, or maybe it's just the art style that Urasawa employs. But I feel extremely at home with this manga. It feels like every time that I pick up a volume to read, it feels like a very intimate and personal experience. Like, kind of like I'm looking through an old scrapbook and I'm seeing memories. It very much feels like a time capsule, and I really just am digging it so far. And I'm loving everything that I'm learning about everyone. And above all else, I'm not gonna lie, it's just the art is really cute. It makes a lot of the characters fun to interact with. The character designs are all very unique. They all carry a lot of personality. And it helps that the characters with their designs actually do have a lot of personality. I don't know, just because we're not super far into the manga, if I can say that everyone is fleshed out, but at the very least, they all still seem like they're worth following. And that makes me very happy. You have no idea how I really like reading manga, obviously, because we have the manga library. However, only a few seldom manga do I just read and feel like I've done so ridiculously quickly and just that I want more. I'm fully caught up on One Piece. If I don't read One Piece for a month, obviously, yeah, I want to know what's happening next, but it won't kill me. I am aching for the next volume of Asadora to come out just because I want to spend more time in this world. It does not happen often. But again, I do like reading manga, don't worry. There are going to be a lot more manga libraries. But this book just makes me feel so good. It's cozy, but it's exciting. And somehow Urasawa manages to still make the kaiju absolutely terrifying. I mean, shivering in my boots that I am not wearing right now because I am wearing sweatpants and socks. I'm in my room. We don't wear shoes, and this is just a thing growing up. We don't wear shoes where there's carpet. We just wear socks or we go barefoot, but that's neither here nor there. So I'm shivering in my socks. Let's just say that. I'm shivering in my socks. But also, like I said, having only seen Yara and Monster, I can say that this is very much in line with those art styles, but for some reason, I do just feel, I feel close with this manga. But it's nice to say that over the course of 30 years, you can't mistake an Urasawa character design, manga, anime, whatever have you, with anyone else just based off of these three pieces of media that I have consumed. They all feel like Naoki Urasawa. I know that may be strange coming from someone who hasn't seen or read more than three series, but he has a style, and I feel it. I feel it in Yara, where I want to be closer to the characters, like how I feel like I want to be closer to the characters in Asadora. And Yara is also slow, and Monster is slow, and I'm afraid to get close to the characters in Monster. But they are pulling me in. I can say that Urasawa has the power to do that through his storytelling. So it's just a really cool thing just throughout all of his work. So Asadora is just more Urasawa greatness. If I sound like a fraud saying that after only watching those two anime, my apologies to you. But I see it, I feel it, and if you like those works and you want something kind of dark but also more on the light side, Asadora is definitely going to scratch that itch that you may have been missing. Just to say a little bit more about the characters, which, again, we don't spend a lot of time with many of them. However, I would be remiss to call any of them an extra. And to enunciate on that further, nobody feels shoehorned in. This is an extremely organic story. And I feel like everyone is relevant. They have to be, the way that he's deliberately putting them, where he is putting them, how each chapter is laid out. It feels very meticulous. I can tell that Urasawa is a real planner, a true schemer. He really knows how to weave a story together using, to the utmost of his ability, I would say maxing out characters, setting, and plot. And just great art. Like I said, his art's great. And also, as I'm sure you've heard me say once, twice, maybe a million times, I love a good mystery. Like I said earlier, this is kind of reminiscent of Godzilla mixed with something kind of classic and homey. It kind of does have a 60s or 70s sitcom feel to it. And just thinking about that, thinking of how old media actually does resurface a lot here. They do talk about the Peanuts, they talk about the Beatles. They make good use of being quote unquote with the times during that time. But this mystery of trying to figure out what this kaiju, this quote unquote thing, is, to be 51 chapters in and having seen it, I want to say we've had three encounters with that thing. And we learn just a little bit with each encounter. Things evolve a little bit more each time. But it's so slow that you just have to hang on. And I'm so happy. I really am. I am overjoyed with this book. I truly am. And I'm more than happy to be patient. Also, I know I mentioned the Olympics, which is also a big thing in Yara. So seeing that come back was just, it made me really happy too. Now, I know I've gushed about this manga, and I know that I've also admitted that the pacing and the inclusion of the characters that may seem like they don't have any purpose right now could make this a hard sell. But it really is a nice and cozy read that honestly may be going into a more serious direction at the end of volume 7, I found. But I am absolutely enamored with Asadora, and I'm going to keep reading all the way until the end. That is a guarantee that I'm going to try to hold myself to. If you're a patient soul and you can enjoy this slow, but always engaging manga, then I 100% recommend that you read Asadora. And we can talk about it, because so far I only have one friend who is reading Asadora, and he's great. But I also want more people to know about it, because Asadora is amazing. I can't stress it enough. It's just such a feel good for me. And maybe I'm sick. Maybe you'll read it and you'll be like, what is he celebrating here? But I just think it's wonderful. And I think Asa is a wonderful protagonist for all of her strengths and all of her charisma and everything that she just does right. But yes, I'm sorry that I don't have more substance to give you, though, and this is the last thing I'll say. You ever notice when you buy a book, somewhere on that book, there's going to be a description that tells you what the book is about? You know, you pick up the first volume of Chainsaw Man, and it tells you who Denji is, what Denji did. You pick up the first volume of Ron and the Gray World, it tells you what it's about. Every volume of Asadora that I pick up, front, back, inside the first page, inside the last page, it does not tell you what it is about. And while part of me struggled to try to tell you more about what this story is, I also admittedly withheld a good portion of what I knew to respect that. Because having limited knowledge actually does help. But knowing that this is going to be slow, knowing that you're going to love just about everyone you meet, or at least appreciate them, even if they seem like bad people, they have something important to add. Knowing those and knowing nothing else, just doing the same thing that the book is doing. But this is just me telling you, you should read it. And with that being said, if you want to follow me, you can do so on Instagram at AnimeAlphaGoat. If you want to email me recommendations, you can do so at ouranimehome@gmail.com. And if you want to support what it is that I'm doing, then please consider subscribing to the Patreon or the Buy Me a Tea. And as always, the Discord server is open to any and every single one of you. And everything can be found on my website, ouranimehome.com. And thank you so much, as always, for listening. I hope that you take care. And with that, I am out.